Well, hello, and welcome to Remember God Loves You, and I'll meet you at the finish line. Well, I hope you guys are having a blessed day, because I know I am, because today is a day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and praise and be glad in it. And God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. You know, there is something that is upon my heart. You know, I think I should be open and transparent with you. When we are hard on ourselves, when we are hard and we try to encourage each other, there are tendencies in my life, and I'm sure there's tendencies in your life, where it's hard to accept yourself or accept myself, per se. Now, what do I mean by that? Is stating that, okay, does God really accept me for who I am? Even with all the mistakes that I have truly made, does God still accept me? Or accept me as who I am? Accept me as stating that I'm a sinner. Accept me as stating that I'm not perfect and I have slipped up countless times. Accept me knowing that anyway, I am not perfect, I'm still obedient unto God. And so that's in continuation of our Lent guide of journey, continuing on to the journey. That is our guide. And I want to encourage you guys on this. No matter where you are on your journey, now I'm going to hone in on this not once but multiple times. It is so important that we are not hard on ourselves. It is important that we are not discouraging upon ourselves. Because when we are discouraging upon ourselves, we are hard on ourselves. And we get so hard on ourselves that we pretty much stray away from God. And how we stray, because we stray away from God because we are embarrassed of God. And how when we are embarrassed of God is when we say, oh man, like I just can't believe I messed up that bad. Or can God truly, really love me anyway, I've made all these mistakes. So we're going to be taking a look in Proverbs chapter 8. And there's something that while I'm going to take a look at after the prayer, I'm going to allow you during this time to think about what I'm about to say after the prayer. With this in mind, we're going to start it off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. We thank you that we can just come here in reverence of you, Lord. Lord, I am so blessed to be called your child. And I just pray that we're not hard on ourselves. And I pray that no matter the mistakes we have made, the troubles we've gotten in, and how we think that we're not perfect in your eyes, Lord, I pray that we can be cleansed white as snow and that we were all broken at one point in our life. But it's by your grace and mercy that we have been renewed and have been cleansed, just like a snowfall purifying the land. And I pray that snowfall can purify our hearts, and that we can be purified under your blood. Lord, may you guide us and protect us, and I just pray for the families that are being affected by the tornado. I just pray for the families in Mississippi, and I pray that you can just watch over them as their towns have been devastated. That's totally unrecognizable, Lord. I pray for the first responders that are responding to that. And Lord, may you guide us and protect us as we continue on the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. So from now until the end, I'm going to allow you guys during this time to think about a time in your life or play a small movie in your mind. And that movie is pretending that God is sitting there, movie theater, that you're at the movie theater. But the movie theater is not going to watch your favorite movie. That movie theater is not going to watch what movie you want to see. That movie is about the story of your life. Like if a story of your life, nobody else's. And it is a premiere showing. So it's like red carpet treatment. And you are there with God. And God is the person that you are showing the movie to. And think of all the things and nothing is held back. Everything, all the mistakes you've made, everything that from the time you were born to the time that you are here, that's all being played. So there's a reason why I'm going to starting that off with. And during this time, I want you to think about kind of hear what see what you have to say about your life. But in the meantime, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 8. And it is talking about the wisdom's call. And yes, that is trying to loving yourself. Anyway, we've made the mistakes. Loving yourself, knowing that the movie that we are going to see, it might be embarrassing to us. Or the movie that we are going to see is something that we don't want God seeing. We don't want God saying, I don't want to see, God, I don't want you to see this part of my life. This is embarrassing. But the cool thing is, God is a gracious Father, and He's a merciful Father. So in verse 1, it states this. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Verse 2, at the highest point along the way, where the path or the paths meet, she takes her stand. Besides the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just, none of them is crooked and perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precise than rubies. And nothing you desire can compare with her. Amen. Amen. And the point of this is it's talking about wisdom and talking about how we, when we speak to other people, how that can impact a life and how our tongue is can destroy or make or destroy lives. And verse 12 continues and states, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. To fear the Lord, I hate pride and arrogance. I want to go back to number 13, and there's a couple of reasons why I kind of rehash that. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. So in order for us to continue on the path that God has set for us, we have to hate evil. And in order to hate evil, we have to fear the Lord. We have to fear the Lord in knowing that we're going to face His wrath if we don't fear Him. So by hating evil, we are going to be in obedience with God. And it's like this for your parents. If you love your parents and something bad happens to them, are you going to be afraid of what they're going to think? Are they going to be disappointed in you? That is the worst thing that can happen to a person, is not them getting mad, but disappointment. None of us like disappointment at all, whether you like it or not. And it's funny because some people say, well, I disappoint my parents all the time, or I disappoint people all the time. Well, that's the worst thing that can happen in a person's life, because that means their trustworthiness and their knowledge and their worthwhile is gone down the tube, and it's become nothing. The relationship has become nothing. And that is why it is so important that we keep our trustworthiness and that we keep our obedience in the Lord, so that we fear Him out of love. We fear Him out of disappointment. We fear Him out of knowing that He's like our parent and that we don't want Him to face wrath. Because we have to face disappointment from God or from your parents, but you're going to have to face the consequences. For instance, if you rob a bank, will your parents be disappointed? Yes. Not only will your parents be disappointed, if your dad is a judge or if he's law enforcement, you also have to face the consequences of being in handcuffs, and you have to face the consequences of your dad being in handcuffs, putting you in handcuffs, or whoever, the law enforcement. Or if you are a child, like a young kid, and you steal a cookie out of the cookie jar. Now, are you, your parents going to be disappointed in you? Yes. But here's the big gist of it. Anyway, you didn't rob a bank like we used an example. You have to face the consequences of stealing that one cookie out of the cookie jar. That is either out of timeout, and that is either maybe going to the store to buying like a sheet of cookies with your mom's money and stuff. And the point of it is to have consequence. That same thing goes with our Lord Jesus Christ. When we disappoint God, we're going to have consequences. If we don't seek reconciliation with him, or if we don't seek repentance, we will face ultimate wrath and the full just of his wrath, because we are destined to do so. So that's why I absolutely love 13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By me, kings reign, and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern, and nobles all who rule on earth. I love those who love me. Amen and amen. Those who seek me, find me. When we seek the Lord, he will find us. When you seek the Lord during the darkest moments in your life, when you seek the Lord during the time of embarrassment, of when God is watching the movie with you of your life, to seek the Lord, he will find you. And to seek the Lord when you are falling down on the ground and it is downpouring and you are in the middle of the storm and you call upon God, I need you. You are seeking him and he will find you, just like a lost sheep, just like a lost child. Your parents will find you if you run away from home, because you are seeking your parents after a short time, and they will find you at the end of the day, just like Jesus. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. Excuse me. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me, and making their treasuries full. Verse 22, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there was no watery depths, I was given birth. When there was no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there. When he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence. Rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Amen and amen. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. I absolutely love that. Isn't that true in this day and age? All who hate me love death. That's a really, really sad kind of a mindset to have. But Now, let's go back to the big picture. Daring to accept myself as I am. Daring to accept myself in front of Jesus for who I am, and who I've made all these mistakes. Daring to accept ourselves. Thomas Merton quotes this, and he's another great writer, and he stated that, "Finally, I am coming to the conclusion that my highest ambitions is to be what I already am, that I will never fulfill my obligation to surpass myself unless I first accept myself. And if I accept myself fully in the right way, I will already have surpassed myself." Thomas Merton. So what does it mean to be fully accepting of yourself in the presence of God? What does it mean for our hearts? What does it mean for your journey that you are on? I find this to be interesting when we are on the path that God has set for us. It is so important and crucial that we hold on to His command. It is so important and crucial that we never forget who made us. Anyway, the mistakes that you've made, the embarrassments, some of the words that you might have said, or per se, some of the connotations that you've given off might have not been obedient unto God. But the cool thing is that He loves you and He cares for you. And the cool thing is that no matter what happens, Jesus still cares for you. And when we accept ourselves as who we are giving ourselves over to God so that we can be grafted in God's image. We can be grafted in His plan. Because we continue on and state that we often try to hide or neglect or reject the part of ourselves we consider unacceptable, which I would agree. As a result, we might spend a lot of energy trying to change ourselves in vain. We might change our appearance. We might change ourselves. We might purposely change our way of thought in order for us to think that, oh man, I can't accept myself because I can't get into this friends group, so I had to change myself in order to accept myself. Or in order to fit in, I feel like I have to dress a different way, or I feel like I have to be in a different club or a different group, a niche. And once I get in the niche, then I can self-accept myself, which is very, very dangerous. Because those groups that you accept yourself on, the worldly thing, is not biblical. Those things that you accept yourself in, the worldly thing, make you walk away from God. Because then when things don't work out in your life, when things come arise and people ask you to leave, or you get kicked out of a group, or you were asked to be removed, you know, you get so distraught at yourself and you're like, man, what happened to myself? I thought I did this for me. I changed. I changed the clothes. I lost weight. The list can go on. What happened to myself? Am I not self-worthwhile? Well, let me tell you the good news. You are self-worthy. You are self-worth in God's eyes. You don't need to change your habit. You don't need to change your appearance because you are made in the image of God. Because you are a child of the Most Living High. Anyway, when we accept Him, we're automatically going to be changed the perception and the guidelines or the way that we look at God. Just like how you want to, don't want to let your parents down, so you're going to be in obedience of His command. Amen. And amen. And I absolutely love, you know, how daring to accept myself. And I have struggled with that concept multiple times. And even I said to myself, what did I do wrong? I thought I was a cool kid. I thought I was a part of the cool club, you know, I thought I fit in. What happened? Am I not worthwhile? What happened was I was missing God. God was missing out of my equation of my life. Now, I don't need to fit in. I don't need to figure out where I belong because I belong in heaven where we all will be one day. And with this in mind, we're going to wrap it up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. We thank you that we can just come here in reverence of you, O Lord. May you guide us and protect us as we continue on the path that you have set before us. So that we don't need to change our perception, Lord. We don't need to change our outlook on your life. We don't need to change on who we are to fit in, Lord, because you've already grafted us into your plan. And you've already blessed us, and you've already promised us what you're going to do already. So may you guide us and protect us, O Lord, as we continue on the path that you have set before us, so that when we cross that finish line, Lord, we can run into your arms, and we can hear you say to us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, I hope you guys, you know, I want to give you words of encouragement. Don't get down on yourself. Be energetic. Be proud of who you are because you are made in the image of God. Don't change your looks. Don't change. Maybe if you have to like change your looks by getting out of the friends group because your friends group is toxic, then do so. But remember that if you also love the Lord, you are going to be in, to love the Lord is to hate evil, or to fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That is a quote that I'm ending, and that's Proverbs 13, or 8:13. Well, hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend, and remember, God loves you, and I'll meet you at the finish line. Bye.